All in yellow because I'm only going to read this verse and you're going to read it with me, okay? Now, this is the Word of God, so we're not going to mumble it, right? Okay, we only mumble other stuff, but we don't mumble God's Word, amen? All right, let's go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Woo! When you stop to think about that, that's quite a statement, isn't it? And last week we did a whole thing on the fear of the Lord, and my definition, and I decided to put this definition up so you can kind of see it. The fear of the Lord is a profound respect or reverence growing out of His greatness, amen, His knowledge, and His power and position as God. And when the scripture talks about the fear of the Lord, it's not talking about being afraid of Him, although there's times in our lives when we're goofing up and we're pretty afraid, right? It's kind of a natural response, but it is a in-depth, profound respect for who God is. And here Solomon says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning, the starting point, that which comes first of knowledge, and then we see also that he trades the word to wisdom and instruction. And so it takes the fear of the Lord to begin to get wise, and the problem is that we have a world who has no fear of the Lord, and they think they're wise, and Romans 1 says, and they become fools, all right, because God has the wisdom, amen? And he has everything, and I want to talk about that as we go along. You know, all of us carry a collective wisdom passed on to us by the people who are significant in our lives. And we've picked up this wisdom from friends and parents and teachers and coaches and pastors and all these people who shaped and molded us as we were growing up, they put into us, and we still collect, even in our adulthood, things that sound reasonable. And there are a few that are very reasonable, and most of what we hear is not very good or plain wrong, right? For instance, let me give you a couple mottos that I grew up with as I went out into the world. The first one is look out for number one, right? Now, there's a nice proverb. Look out for number one. And today it's morphed into a much more gooey type of thing. Take care of your own needs first, right? Looking out for number one or taking care of your own needs first. What are you saying is you make sure you get your needs met, and then I'll start to think about you, okay? So, it sounds reasonable, maybe. It sounded very reasonable to me when I was young, and it's pretty bad advice when you stop to think about it. I mean, think about it. Think about marriage. You meet your needs first, and when all your needs are met, then you'll think about your mate. Oh, divorce court. Oh, what does God want? Well, here's the scripture. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, to freedom. Only do not use liberty or your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, what? Serve one another. Yeah. Another pre-salvation proverb for me was, if it feels good, do it. All right? The whole hippie movement, if it feels good, do it. And during the hippie movement, it was throwing all the constraints of society off, rejecting social rules and living the alternative lifestyle. I lived in my communes, you know, all that kind of thing. You actually have one, at least one here, true hippie, okay? And it was a very colorful life with, it caused lots of pain and a lot of grief. And to a lot of people. And really, it is morphed into the phrase, if it isn't hurting anyone, then it's right. You hear that now, Dave? Yeah. If it isn't hurting one, I'd like to find out who is the judge of what's hurting other people, right? Because this turns into, well, it's okay to do adultery because it's not hurting anybody. Yeah, boy, the ripples go through families and friends and, you know, I mean, on and on and on. What a crazy thing. And again, only do not use your liberty or your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, Galatians 5:13. So what kind of wisdom have people passed on to you that you're holding on to? What little nuggets of supposed wisdom have shaped and molded you into what you are today? Because I guarantee you, you have some real pitfalls and you have some good, right? And I always laugh because, like when I was in Africa, in Rwanda, and, you know, people talked about their Christianity with superstition. And I think, well, we have that in America, don't we? Right? How many of you are wearing a Bronco shirt because if you don't wear it, they'll lose? Right? You know, part of us is, as an adult is sorting through this stuff. I don't know about you, but I sort through all the type of things I think may be right to decide, is it really line up with the Word of God? And because, you know, wisdom is only found on the Word of God. Amen? Wisdom isn't outside of that. And so today I want to start a new series called Wise Up About Life. We're going to go over a few different things in the book of Proverbs, just a few subjects. I'm not going to spend a lot of time doing that, but for several weeks I will. And because I really think that, well, it really is my prayer that you become motivated to read a proverb or two every day and apply it to your life. Because, you know, we're in a world where there are so many proverbs and so much wisdom out there, and we're so slowly sinking, and we've got to be the people that looks at God's word. And so my prayer all through the week, every day, has been praying for you that you get the thirst to just read one or two Proverbs a day. All right? Now, how many of you read Proverbs currently? Okay, so we got a few people. And, you know, if you're using a one-year Bible, it always has that proverb in it, in every one that. So, this is going to be a series on Proverbs, and so I want to start with the basic building blocks, okay? So what is the definition of wisdom, okay? Now, the fear of the Lord begins that wisdom, but how do we define wisdom? So I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him your definition of wisdom. Go. Okay. Somebody yell out a definition.
Knowledge,
okay. Okay, what's passed on to us? That could be disastrous or good, right? Yeah. Been there, done that. Okay, the experience, okay. All right, let me give you a definition out of the dictionary. The dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to discern what's true and right. Okay? Our English word wisdom has both moral implication, discerning what's right, and intellectual implication, discerning what's true. Now, the Bible word, or the Hebrew word, chokmah, okay? And, you see it on that little brick, okay? Chokmah. Translated wisdom in the Bible is a bit more colorful than our English word. That always seems to be true, doesn't it? It usually refers to those who are skilled with experience in a trade or craft, and they have this ability that nobody ever has. In fact, when you think about it, if you've read in the Old Testament about when they were building the temple, they kept on saying, and so-and-so who had wisdom in whatever craft it was. And it was the skills and the experience and the knowledge. And Like, for instance, we may say, well, he really is good at repairing a car. Well, he has wisdom about repairing a car. Or she has great counseling skills. She has a wisdom on how to counsel. And it distinguishes wisdom from knowledge because a person can have a mind full of facts, right? And know what the Bible says, yet lack authentic wisdom. So let's get to a proverb here that I want to look at in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. And it says this, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth." Now, this is kind of interesting, isn't it? That means skill and experience and knowledge. "The Lord by wisdom found the earth, by understanding," and it means cleverness or logic, "he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down their dew." Now, using construction terminology, Solomon pictures God as being the architect and wisdom as being the builder. And this doesn't mean that wisdom is a literal person, but because wisdom is a way of life, a way of thinking like God, Chokmah is wisdom, and it's a feminine noun, and the proverb personifies the wisdom as a woman, right? Lady Wisdom. And it's as though God creates his blueprint for the world together, and then his wisdom builds it. And looking at the creation, we can begin to understand God's wisdom. Now, you know, the neat thing about this is today, in our society, science says this all just happened, right? By pure chance, everything lined up just right. And I look at it and I think, this just happened? Here's an analogy that maybe we can kind of put together, help understand. My wife is from L.A., and she lived within miles of Disneyland. And so she loves Disneyland. She takes, every time one of our grandchildren turn 9, she takes them to Disneyland. I go to the beach. You know, I might come into downtown Disney or something like that, and once in a while I just suck it up and go, because I wasn't raised with that. It's pretty neat. But anyhow, almost all the rides and the attractions, I've noticed, have a hidden set of Mickey Mouse ears somewhere in that attraction. Did you know that? They put it all in, and yet if you don't know it, you won't see these hidden ears. And see, I even got them up here. There's just a few pictures of, and they're all over the place when you begin to recognize it. But once you start looking, you're going to see those hidden Mickey ears everywhere. And in a similar way, God used his wisdom to create the world, and wisdom put her mark on the world. And like the hidden Mickey ears, God's creation has within it the fingerprint of God's wisdom. And once you notice that and you start to see it, the wisdom simply is observing the world around you and what he did. Now here's another illustration. When a woodworker works with a piece of work, does he want to go with the grain or against the grain? How do you know that? Okay, because it makes sense, even the way I said it. Okay, all right. Yeah, you have to go with the grain, and the smart person starts doing it. But every one of us at some point has worked with wood and gone to cross grain, right? And all of a sudden you sand and you think, oh, does that look awful? Then you have to go with the grain to make it feel good. Well, you know, wise living, and listen to me on this, wise living is going with the grain of wisdom in this world rather than against it. But you have to know the grain of wisdom. Wise living is discerning the structure and order that God built into the world and living our lives in harmony to the order of his structure. Do you see that? We live how he built it. And it's the best way to live. And when we begin to go cross-grain on the world and how God built it, that's when we start getting in trouble. So let me give you a definition of biblical wisdom. Okay, and I found it very hard to define, and that's why I had you do it, because I figured when you did it, it always feels a little empty. But Charles Spurgeon, he was a preacher in the 1800s in England, said this: wisdom is the right use of knowledge. Okay? And I didn't think that was enough. So I did this. Let me say his again. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge with the discernment of God's truth and righteousness. The next building block, what are the Proverbs? Well, let me give you a definition of the Proverbs. Proverbs are short, memorable sayings whose meanings are relevant to many different situations. And we see these all the time in our life. How many of you saw Forrest Gump years ago? Okay, so most of us have seen Forrest Gump, and we had these Gumpisms, right? I mean, that's one of the things that was so much fun about the movie. Like he said, life is like a box of chocolate, right? You never know what you're going to get. Or stupid is stupid does, right? Now, that was a pretty good proverb. It really should have been stupid does as stupid is. Every society has its own set of proverbs. So let me give you some examples that we have in our life. Because today, what I would love for you to do is start evaluating in your life all these little proverbs and all these little sayings. Get to Facebook. Oh, my gosh. Right? They've got you. They got everything. Okay? And so let me just give you some examples. Look before you leap. Right? Easy come, easy go. There's some truth in that. A penny saved is a penny earned. Live one day at a time. Look both ways before you cross the street. Think before you speak. Okay, that was my dad's favorite saying. You know, as Christians, we believe the wisdom of Proverbs represents God's angle on wisdom. And we who Christians believe it's inspired. So we must understand also that when a proverb is given, it's a general rule, but it doesn't always work every time because we're in a sinful, fickle world, right? And some Christians say, here's a promise in the Bible. Let me give you one that's a promise that doesn't always work, okay? Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, right? Now, how many of you hold on to that for your kids? Oh, okay. 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, so is that a promise? No, it's a proverb, and is it always true? No. But generally, it's true. And I love it because it also can be translated, train up in a child in the way that he would go. In other words, if you let him do his own thing, what's going to happen? He will not depart from it. I think that's even more true than the other way. Because once you allow them to sin and do their own thing, and you think, well, you know, they'll make their choices, and that guy, yeah, you're not parenting, right? Then it's going to be harder for them to depart from that. But is it always true? No. It's the general rule. And generally, it's a rule of thumb. Now, my goal for us today is to get us interested in reading the Proverbs, because in them, you gain wisdom. And I have read the Proverbs daily for most of my Christian life because I saw very early on that those who meditate on the Proverbs were pretty wise people. In fact, if I brought up the people who read the Proverbs on a daily basis and have them stand here, you go, oh, wow, those guys are pretty wise. Why? Because they've been doing it and doing it. My dad loved wisdom, and he wanted to be wise and all those kind of things. And so it instilled in me, read the Proverbs. Now, I've used at least the last 20 years, I don't know, maybe longer. I've used a one-year Bible, and I read through it every year, or maybe a couple times a year. And I love getting down to the Proverbs section. I mean, I love it all, but I love getting down to that Proverbs section because there's always something for me to meditate on. I can take one verse, write it down, put it on my dashboard, and look at it while I'm headed for work or whatever it may be. And I have meditated on 1 to 2 verses forever. I can't say every day because nobody's that perfect, right? But I love meditating on it because it's God's wisdom. And, you know, we can make application to our life, and it begins to pay off when we think, you know, like I was talking to a man yesterday that's just an angry, angry man, and I keep talking to him about you can't do, and I look at it and I think, well, I finally said, you know, you need to start reading the Proverbs. So I sent him Proverbs on anger, a whole list full on his data phone so he could look at them, because how good a decision do you make when you're angry? And the Bible warns you about that. And if we don't look at the Proverbs, if we don't see what God's wisdom, we are left with Gumpisms and society's wisdom, and it's going to steer us southward into trouble. Man, I'm telling you, the Proverbs have helped me. And when I say the Proverbs, I'm even thinking, you know, Job and Ecclesiastes and the Proverbs are all the wisdom literature. Ecclesiastes looks at it from a futility side, a more negative side, so does Job. And the Proverbs look at it from a positive side. And I've, between Ecclesiastes and the Proverbs, man, if I didn't have those, I don't know what I would have done in my life. On those dark times. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those dark times you go through your life and, you know, and I, all of a sudden, all these Proverbs start coming to my head. Okay, you know, stick in there and just keep going and you'll appease the king, Ecclesiastes, and so on and so forth. But otherwise, you can live with stupid is as stupid does. Look both ways before you cross the street. Do whatever you think is great so long as it doesn't hurt anybody. You can go ahead and live that way, but you're going to have a crummy, crummy life. Amen? I don't think we want to do that. You know, what's interesting about these people that have sought out wisdom, they always seek the counsel of others. Have you noticed that? When you think that you have the wisdom and you can do it by yourself, you're in huge, huge trouble. Here's what the Proverbs say, and I'm going to close with this. The wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Proverbs 1:5, Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. Isn't that true? But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so, if you are a wise person, you're always seeking other people's ideas to weigh them out. You know, like this morning, I was talking to Debbie, and last night we were talking about some things, and so I'm asking her questions, and I'm trying to get her wisdom in it, because I know that if I just walk out on my own wisdom, I'm going to get in trouble. How about you? How do you handle that? Today, God is inviting us to join him on a journey of living, of wise living. It's a journey that can't start until you, as a Christian, establish a constant reading of the Bible, and especially in books like Proverbs. And it's a journey that can't start until you establish an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. And once that relationship is established, it's a journey that calls you to pursue wisdom as well. So I want to close with this. Will you embrace God's wisdom, his moral code, his life plan, and God's plan, his consistent plan for you and for me? Will you join me in this over the next few weeks and make a commitment to read the Proverbs? Okay, good. Okay, all right. All right, yeah. Sometimes you don't know you're supposed to answer, huh? Yeah. I just raised my eyebrows if you could see that, you know. Okay. Are you ready to explore wisdom? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning.